2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Of many waiver wire podcasts. This is the DFS Army and Flex Network combination joint venture. I don't know what you call it.
I like to call it simulcast. That
sounds good. I am Season Long Says. I will be your host along with the one and only Shane Seeley from the Flex Network.
Hello.
And what we're going to do here, our goal in this cast is to just talk about the top waiver wire ads, and most importantly, tell you what we suggest our bid amounts are. Now, we know every league has a little bit different dollar amounts, so what we're going to do is talk about percentages, talk about how aggressive you should be, and based on the type of league. Obviously, quarterbacks will differ based on 10-team, 12-team, or super flex format. Any other nuances you can think of, Shane, before we get right into it?
No, not really. I mean, ultimately, I think that we're probably going to touch on like the major guys, right? Guys that we're going to be targeting in our leagues. When we were chatting before the show, I talked about a few guys I play in like one of my home leagues is 10 teams, and in most of that, it's pretty savvy guys. So maybe 12 quarterbacks will get drafted, right? So there's certain guys that we'll kind of just do like a quick fire at the end saying, okay, take a look. You might want to consider drafting this guy, like a Tom Brady, for example, right? Like for me, he was like the 20th ranked quarterback in a lot of leagues. And so, he might not be owned in every league, frankly. So, you know, we'll quickly touch on those ones, but I think, the skill positions are where we make our money, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, totally. And, even if you have a couple look ahead defenses, and most importantly at the end, well, Shane and I will give you a couple wide receivers, tight ends, QBs, running backs that we think you could put in $0 or $1 bids on in order to pick them up that may not be good right away, but maybe a week or two down the road, or at least worth holding on to. And again, this is why you want to have that bottom of your roster a little more fluid. This is why you want to not draft an AJ Green, in our opinion. This is why you want to not draft Melvin Gordon, players that you're going to have to hold on to. And it just doesn't give you roster flexibility. All right, so let's jump right into it. And so we're going to talk about this in certain categories, okay, Shane? So basically, if we think there's a guy that's worth like just going all in for, we're going to call it break the bank. That's when you just literally push all your chips into the middle. It may not be a guy. For me, that was like a Philip Lindsay last year. So if there's someone that you just totally want to break the bank for, I mean, that's a very rare fire there. But if you want to get aggressive about 20-25%, we'll call it an aggressive bid. Would you say it's about a quarter of your budget? Would you agree with that, Shane?
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty aggressive. Yep.
Okay. And if there's a useful player, you probably want to go somewhere. I marked it as somewhere between 10 and 18%.
Yep.
Okay. And then how much do you think I'm going to put up on speculative players, popular speculative plays? Ones that are like that had a good week that maybe I call them speculative that you may not be sure about yet. How much do you think you'd bid on someone like that?
I don't know, maybe upwards of 5%. It kind of depends on
you
the position,
it.
Right?
Yeah, you got it. I just want to see if we're in lockstep here.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like if there's a kicker or defense or someone in the future, I put those as two or low ceiling guys like a Mohamed Sanu, someone you know that you could pick up, plug him in, a Cole Beasley type. Those are those low ceiling players. And then, of course, we're gonna go to the $1 bargain bid future star speculative batch. And I know you have a really good one tonight that I like. So that's the categories we're going to use. We're going to take a few questions. DFS Army asking about Amendola. Oh yeah, we're gonna get to Danny Amendola. We're definitely gonna get to Danny Amendola. He's on our list. Yes. Okay, so we'll go right to it. Any position you want to start with? I was gonna start with QB. Is that good with you, Shane?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do QB real quick.
All right. So look what I put up here. I put and I'm gonna have you talk to this a little bit. The 10 team. If you're in a 10 team league, the likely Dak and Tom Brady are on your waiver wire. 12-team league is more like the Josh Allen, Mariota are probably there. And then if you're in a super flex league, we're looking to pick up Case Keenum, Andy Dalton, And your favorite, Gardner Mustachio.
Mustachio, I like it. He looked impressive, man. He went like 12 for 12 or something like that.
Yeah, no, he looked really good. The obvious concerns are, was that just a function of the bad Kansas City defense and that they had to keep up with Patrick Mahomes? So why don't you take me through this list a little bit? Start with, why don't you talk to the 10-team leagues first?
All right. For the 10-team leagues, guys like Dak and Tom Brady are going to be in the waiver wire. So Tom Brady in particular, this is a guy that I think that after the Antonio Brown announcement on the weekend, his stock went way up. I think it's hilarious because a month ago at this time, people were talking about, oh man, the Patriots are receiving core. There's nobody really there. N'Keal Harry is looking banged up. And it's just is one of these, there's so many question marks, right? Whereas now, people are projecting Tom Brady is going to finish as like a top 5 to 8 quarterback. I mean, he put up the performance last night. One of the things that really just stood out to me, you know, as watching, you know, I was able to watch most of the games yesterday, but a lot of the offenses just looked sluggish, man. Like they are like coming out of the off season and they look bad out there. Whereas like the Patriots on Sunday Night Football, they came out and they pretty much were rolling, man. Like they didn't take a break in the offseason, it looks like. So a guy like Tom Brady, somebody you can definitely target. I like Dak Prescott right now. So a lot of the times, Dak.
Let me ask you a question. You talked about, so you have Tom Brady and Dak Prescott, but
yep.
If you in a 10-team league, chances are you have a good quarterback. What if you have, like, say,
like a Jameis Winston, like me?
Yeah. Okay. So say you have Jameis Winston. Yeah. Or I mean, are you just literally dropping that guy for Tom Brady in a 10-team league?
Honestly, no. And the reason being is that if you're going to go and you're picking up Tom Brady, it's probably because your quarterback let you down this week, aka like a Jameis Winston.
Winston, you got Ben Roethlisberger. Those guys all fall in that category.
I mean, the thing is that like a lot of these guys, I'm not really a proponent for keeping multiple quarterbacks on your bench. But the reason we drafted Jameis Winston was because of the offense that he's in, the weapons that he has, and the expectations are that he was going to become a top quarterback. I mean, I think one of my bold calls was like top 8 or something like that. So I guess it's not that bold, but Jameis Winston, he's a guy who, when he puts up points, he puts up big points. Like he can drop a 40 burger, but then like this week, he put up like 10 or 12 points or something like that. So honestly, I would probably, if you can spare it on your bench, if you got a deep bench, I would probably pick him up and I would stash him. But look, you can't throw out your entire offseason analysis, all the storylines after 1 week. You just can't do it.
Don't want to panic. That's true. Yeah,
I think that's folly. But now, would I consider dropping him for a guy like Dak Prescott? I think I would, because we've seen that Dak is more productive now that he's got Amari Cooper as his, like his wide receiver one. But with Zeke playing games, Dak is typically about a top 5 quarterback, and he can run the ball in. He looks electric, and I don't think that this is going to be his only week where he's putting up massive numbers. So I would consider dropping a guy like Dak over Jameis simply because I think Dak's more reliable week to week, right? Which ultimately with the quarterback position, it's so deep. Sometimes you kind of just want that floor, right? And we've seen the floor for Jameis is 10 points.
Okay, so you're picking those guys up. Now let's, when you're talking about bid amounts in a 10-team league, and just let's lightning round through this.
Okay.
If you're in a 10-team league and Dak just put up that monster score, where are you going? What percent of budget are you spending on him if you have a quarterback that you were disappointed in? And even, I mean, I doubt they're available in 12-team leagues, but if they are, and you just want to pick up a guy, give me your percentage of budget you're going to throw on these guys.
I think if I'm in a 10-team league, I'm probably not going to put up more than 5 to 7% max, max.
So you're calling these guys spec plays. I mean, they're more than that, but you're just saying.
The reason I wouldn't blow my budget on a quarterback is because it's a replaceable position, right? It's like the same reason we waited to draft these quarterbacks at the very beginning of the season in our drafts. It's that you don't need to blow the bank because this isn't going to necessarily be a player that's going to make or break you every single week, right? I mean, there's going to be variance. These guys have big weeks. Chances are they have average weeks next week. That's just the law of averages. So I wouldn't break the bank for these guys. Now, if I was in a 12-team league and one of these guys was available, I might be willing to go closer to like a 7 or 10% because at that point, the quarterback position is slightly more scarce, right? But again, I mean, generally speaking, I'm going to spend my money on skill position players, not quarterbacks.
Sounds good. Okay, I'm going to speed through this now. If on with quarterbacks, if any of these guys are available in Superflex, chances are Josh Allen is not. Superflex, again, for those of you who don't play in Superflex, it's a league where you could start up to two quarterbacks. And if Mariota, Case Keenum, Andy Dalton, or most likely Gardner Minshew, you treat them like a running back. If Gardner Minshew is on in a 12-team Superflex, you're gonna go aggressive on him. You're gonna. Would you agree with that? I would say
absolutely. Yeah,
you're probably gonna go more than a 25% bid. You're probably gonna. It depends how desperate you are. If you lost Nick Foles and he was like your second or third QB, you're not gonna quite break the bank, but you're gonna wanna get another quarterback on your roster.
Yeah.
What percent?
He was put on IR, right? Was he designated to return?
Designated to return. So what would you spend? Give me the exact dollar amount you would spend on Gardner Minshew or the percentage in a super flex where you lost Nick Foles as your QB3.
I would probably put 25 to 30%. Like I would go hard. Yeah. Okay. If you lost him and he was, look, if you had, okay, so it's a little bit different. If Nick Foles was your third quarterback.
Yeah, third. Right? He was someone's third QB. He wasn't anyone's second quarterback.
Yeah, I'd probably still go 25% because you know somebody out there is going to want to do it, right? Because ultimately, at the worst case scenario, this guy's going to hold some value, and he might be trade bait in a couple weeks.
I'd go
aggressive on that. Similar to like a starting running back, right?
Totally. Yeah, that's what I said. Treat him like a running back. And again, quarterbacks aren't going to come up that often because they don't get hurt that often. So I would agree. You're going to have to be aggressive if you're the Nick Foles owner. If you're just a team that only has two quarterbacks, same thing. If you already have three quarterbacks, you put a bid in for Gardner Minshew and use him as trade bait. Or if he turns out to be good, you could trade one of your other QBs.
Absolutely.
Right. What we're going to save wide receiver for last because there's just so many wide receivers that are viable on the waiver wire.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, usually it's running back. The running backs that we're going to talk about that I think are the high priority ads are Malcolm Brown, Chris Thompson, Gio Bernard, Raheem Mostert, Dontrell Hilliard, and Rex Burkhead is worth a bit. So,
oof, sexy Rexy, baby.
Yeah. Just go. Do you have any other running backs that you thought came up on the waiver wire this week that might be worth a bid? Let's talk 12-team leagues. Most people are in 12-team leagues at this point, PPR. If you're in 10, you'll have some other options as well. These are the guys that are like 30% or under.
What about Darren Sproles?
Okay, great question.
Darren Sproles.
Okay, so yes, we will. I think that he is worth adding to this list. Darren Sproles is worth a few bucks. Okay, Malcolm Brown is at the top of the list. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Look, it almost looks like, Todd Gurley, he wasn't catching any balls yesterday. He wasn't getting the goal line touches. The goal line touches, I get, drop Sony Michel. No, we don't drop Sony Michel. Malcolm Brown. So where's most violent as a running back is on those
drop Sony Michel was a real question. Okay. You just glazed over it. It's okay that it's a typical Patriots thing. Sony Michel is going to get his. That was an alarming week for sure, but do not drop Sony Michel. At very minimum, put him on your bench. But I'm even starting him next week, so we'll stay.
Can I just say something about that, Al?
Yeah.
I feel like people are going to get trolled every single week with the Patriots wide receiver or running backs, excuse me. The only guy that's really reliable on a weekly basis, in my opinion, is a James White, because this is a guy that no matter what the situation is, he's going to get some touches. Like we saw it last night, first half of the game, or really first three quarters, he was heavily involved. But by the time they were, well into the fourth quarter, it was Rex Burkhead killing the clock, right?
Yep.
So I think that early on, for these actual competitive games, I think that it's going to be Sony Michel, and I think it's going to be James White. But there's not going to be blowouts like that every week. So I wouldn't have it.
And I totally agree with that. James White's the only one that's reliable, but even that, it's like week to week, you're just not going to know.
If they go way up, they're gonna save them.
Yeah. All right, we're going to come back and talk about each of these running backs individually, but I want you to tell me percentage of budget in a 12-team league, what you would spend on each of these guys. Malcolm Brown, he looks like he's the goal line back. Todd Gurley certainly doesn't. He looks like himself when he's running, but they don't want to have him getting dinged up, it appears. Or maybe the other thought is that he survived week one. Okay, we're going to give him some more touches. But Malcolm Brown, what percent of budget would you put on him?
Well, this is not a big week for running backs, so this isn't one where I'd really blow my budget. Malcolm Brown, if I was in desperate need, so say like, I don't know, like you say you got Joe Mixon, right? So he's going to be out for maybe a week, possibly 2 weeks. I would be a little bit more aggressive, and I'd probably build upwards of 15% to 20% of my budget.
So if you're in, what if you're the Todd Gurley owner?
If you're the Todd Gurley owner, you should already own him, frankly. Like, I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay, but let's say you didn't because
let's say
you took Daryl Henderson. You know, a lot of people were talking about how that was the handcuff, or somebody else. You know, I mean, just you ignored him because Malcolm. Listen, we play in circles where Malcolm Brown was talked about, but in a lot of circles, he wasn't really even being touted on the radio or on websites. So
the funny thing is, Al, you say that, but draft Twitter was all about Daryl Henderson. I mean, you looked at where he was going in the draft. He was going, the seventh round, roughly, give or take, whereas Malcolm Brown oftentimes wasn't getting drafted. And yet, when you talked to the beat reporters, when you heard the news coming out of camp, all indications were that Daryl Henderson was going to be the pass-catching back, and that Malcolm Brown, if Todd Gurley went down, was going to be the legit handcuff. And, go ahead.
If you're the Gurley owner, what are you doing? Like, how much?
If I'm the Gurley owner, I'm bidding 30%. Like, 30%. I'm going aggressive for this guy. Generally my approach to handcuffing is that I'll only handcuff the guys that are like high risk, right? So if I've got Leonard Fournette, I might go out and get like a Ryquell Armstead because there's a higher risk that this guy's going to get injured. And for Todd Gurley, if you had Daryl Henderson, you know, at least it's, you kind of made like a choice. Yes, I want to handcuff this position, but I would go 30% for Malcolm Brown.
All right, we'll come back.
Extremely aggressive.
We'll come back to the other running backs. Let's knock out a few of these questions super quick. Andrew asks, I need to know what's up with Ross, Shark, McLaurin. Okay, we're going to get to the wide receivers after the running backs, and we're going to plan on hitting all of them and Hockenson too. So stay tuned. We're planning on doing about a 35-minute podcast, and we will hit on them. I promise. We'll do it next. Someone from DFS Army says, word out of Schefter is that Gronk is coming back. Full fab?
No.
Ready on the count of three, okay, Shane. Sorry. 1, 2, 3.
No.
No.
No. Why not?
You'll be able to get Gronk for a buck if you want to hold him, but he's a roster clogger. Okay, so yep. our Antonio Brown is about to suck up all the production in the middle of the field. Good question though. Brandon asks, have you seen any news on Joe Mixon? Have you seen anything yet, Shane?
The latest from this afternoon was that he didn't. It's just like an ankle sprain, and that he's likely to miss at least 1 week. But he is dated like week to week, so. Optimistically, he'll be back for week 3, but I don't know, man. It depends on how the Bengals are doing. If they don't rush him back, like, Gio's a capable back.
Well, that's a perfect lead-in. Okay, so Bernard is our second or third ranked running back. Just, you're the Joe Mixon owner. How much you bidding?
20%.
Okay, so
Al, like, we should add the caveat. Like, Joe Mixon is a special talent, right? So if you think that you're going to plug Gio Bernard in your lineup and he's going to automatically just give you the same production, that's not the case. The thing is that you also have to look at how your roster's set up, right? So if you're going to go and you're going to pick up Gio Bernard as like a stash, say, then I would probably go maybe 10% on it. But if this is the guy that you need to start, so say you're like in a 12 or 14 person league that's very competitive, you've got a lot of starting positions and you're going to be starting Gio, I would go as aggressive as 15 to 20%.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk to the owner who basically went wide receiver in round one.
Yeah.
Round two, he maybe took George Kittle, and somehow Mixon fell to the third round to him as he was falling late in late draft season. And now he's without his RB1.
Yeah.
And his RB2 is, say, Mark Ingram. So he has a good second back, but he doesn't really have any depth at the position.
Right.
You're recommending somewhere between 20 and 30% based on your desperation.
If you're going to start him, if he's going into your starting roster,
I'd
bid 20 to 30%. Yeah.
And what if he's going to be just like a guy you're going to collect for your bench?
Probably 10%, because you know Mixon's going to be back if not week 3, week 4. So it's a guy you're stashing for 2 weeks. He's depth. You don't blow your fab on depth.
Okay, I like that. That's really good advice, and I fully am on board and agree with that. We just got a couple more questions, then we'll get back to it. Andrew said, "Is it time to drop Darwin or Pollard?" For me, I'm dropping Pollard. Darwin Thompson, I'm still holding because I don't have any confidence in the health of either of the other two backs as far as long term. Darwin still has upside. You're just going to have to wait for it. Now, if you're in a situation where you're desperate to make a move, yes, Darwin can be dropped, but I would hold him as long as possible. He's similar to Justice Hill for me, where he will have value. You're just going to have to wait for it.
See, I don't know if I necessarily agree with you there.
Then state your case. State your case.
And the reason being is that I agree with you that, you know, Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy, they have had injury histories and they are both older running backs. But, you know, you looked, it was about a 60-40 split in the favor of Damian Williams. I think that you're going to continue to work them. I think that, like, right now, LeSean McCoy is healthy and he'll probably be healthy for at least a little while early on in the season. If you can hold Darwin Thompson, I mean, to me, it's the same as holding a Gronk, right? It's a speculative play. You're holding the third running back on a team. And I, frankly, I mean, I wouldn't use a roster spot for him.
Well, here's really what it comes down to. Look at the guys we have on our waiver wire. Are there any running backs that you would drop Darwin Thompson for?
Like that you have available? Like,
Let me rephrase. Yes. So the guys that we're putting on, that we're recommending to pick up are Malcolm Brown, Chris Thompson, Geo, Mostert, Hilliard, and Rex Burkhead. Would you drop Darwin Thompson for any of them?
Okay, Malcolm Brown, I would drop him for. Chris Thompson, yes. Geo Bernard, I would consider it. Because at least, like, if I was going to start Geo this week, I would drop him for it. Mostert, maybe. Probably. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay, it sounds like that's where the line gets blurred.
That's kind of where the line is. Yeah, Hilliard, probably not. Rex Burkhead, probably not.
For me, I would hold Darwin Thompson for all these instead of all these players except for Malcolm Brown and Chris Thompson. And because that leads into, if you're a Darius Geis owner, Chris Thompson, I think he falls into the, I know you have a much love for him. I think he falls into the same category. Chris Thompson, he's a $15 or lower player depending on PPR and your desperation for running back. I think there's going to be better options down the road than all these guys. Malcolm Brown strikes me as a guy, though, you're going to want to have. He feels very Latavius Murray, good offense, goal line hammer. Latavius Murray was going in the 6th, 7th round. If we could redraft today, I think that's around where Malcolm Brown would go, the 8th round, probably where Daryl Henderson was going. So I'd probably go up to as high as like in the 40s for him if I really needed a running back. But I've been known to be a drunken sailor.
It's a bit of a tangent. I think that you would go and spend 40% of your budget on Malcolm Brown, and I wouldn't have a problem with that. And the reason being is that I think, you know, now that you mention it, I totally agree with you that he could have like a Latavius Murray type appeal. And I think that he can have standalone starting value. I mean, look at it this week. He might have a couple weeks that let you down, but once you're, you know, if you're looking for a flex play anyways, this is a guy that you could, his guy's done. Ugh. Sorry, I'll just finish this thought real quick. He's a guy that could have standalone value every single week. And look, if something does happen, when something happens to Gurley, he's going to be going for 100% of your fab budget, right? Yep. So if you're willing to get aggressive, jump on it early at 40%.
You'll get him cheaper than that.
You'll get him. Yeah. But don't be afraid to spend your fab early. If you love a guy, if you absolutely love somebody, the earlier you spend your fab, the more you're going to be able to get, call it value per dollar spent in your fab, right? Because you get a guy now, you're going to get him for 15 more weeks in theory. Whereas if you're getting a guy up in like week 12, you might get him for a couple weeks, and if you're lucky to get into the playoffs, right? So don't be afraid to do that. If there's a guy that you love, do it.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with that. I think that the fab becomes less valuable as the year goes on. So I think that concludes. Any other closing thoughts? With Tevin Coleman being out, is Raheem Mostert of any interest? I mean, Matt Breida is going to take the role. They're going to activate Jeff Wilson from the practice squad, so we might be heading back into a three-headed monster situation.
Honestly, I don't trust that offense right now, man.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Let's we're at 23 minutes. I want to cover all the positions, and we're about to hit the big one, wide receivers.
Yes.
Okay, so this is what I classified as the high priority ads. And wide receiver usually is tricky. And the reason is because a lot of these guys are 1 week and then they go away for like 4 weeks. And I think like someone like Randall Cobb, which we'll get to, is in that classification. But these guys are going to be integral parts of their offense moving forward. Now I have Hollywood Brown, John Ross, Terry McLaurin, Mecole Hardman with the news that Tyreek Hill is going to be missing some time.
6 to 7 weeks.
Wow. Okay, I didn't hear that. That's news. Shane's breaking news right here on the Flex Network DFS Army simulcast. See, I said it right, simulcast. And Jamison Crowder shouldn't be on your waiver wire, but I put him on there because I did see he was like 59% owned. So
you've been on Crowder all offseason now. You've loved that guy, and you nailed it, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. But the reason is the Jets paid him this offseason. And he works the middle of the field, and Chris Herndon is going to be out for a month. So I have some friends that go to the Jets practices, and they said they've been running all the plays on the goal line. Like, they've been using Crowder like they were going to use Herndon. So I'm not saying Crowder is going to be full season, but first month of the season, if you can get out from under him, who the hell is going to buy Crowder from you? I don't know. But week one was pretty good. 17 targets.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Insane. Insane.
Yeah. He's the first NFL player to have 17 targets in less than 100 yards.
Really? That's a Jets for you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Talk about these high priority ads. And because you agree, though, that wide receiver, usually you don't want to empty the kitty. But these guys all look good. Go ahead.
Well, the thing about wide receiver, if you're going to be blowing your budget, it's because you're going to get a guy that you're going to be able to start every week. There's question marks with every one of these guys. So let's just start with Hollywood Brown. Okay. So this guy was hyper efficient. Let's see here. He had eight snaps. Yeah. Four receptions, 147 yards and two touchdowns.
He leads the league in points per snap, by the way.
Oh yeah.
That's a new stat I just made up. Points per snap.
I love it. No, but I mean, like, here's the thing, right? Like, this is to me, and I don't know, like, immediately I started thinking, man, Tyreek Hill, right? This is a guy that could get away from a defender and just, like, put on another gear, man. But Miami looked putrid. They looked putrid.
I think that's the million-dollar question. Will they be able to do this against a competent offense? Now, here's my thought, is that, you know, people are down on the snap count for Hollywood Brown. I think he's a high-priority ad because he doesn't need to be on the field for many snaps, because when he's on there, like you said, he could beat everybody down the field. And the way that the Ravens have designed their offense, the way they want to run, how they want to run the ball a lot. They were the most run heavy team. They have a running QB. They have Mark Ingram. So they were really nervous about people stacking the box on them. This is what I'm understanding from reading from the beat writers. So that's why they got Hollywood Brown, because they need someone on the field that can threaten down the field. Because if they don't have that type of receiver, then their plan to run the ball is they're going to be facing 9-man boxes. So you're going to get low target. I think more of a DeSean Jackson, peak DeSean Jackson is what we're looking at here. But I think Hollywood's someone that you could plug in your wide receiver 3 or flex every week, and it's going to be bad some weeks. So I'm getting aggressive. I'm going like 18% of budget. Okay. If I really want him, like 24% of budget.
I don't think you're going to get him. I think there's going to be one crazy person in your league, and everybody's league, that's going to bid 30 to 35% on Hollywood Brown, because all they did was they saw the highlights. I agree with you. I would probably spend between 18 to 25% of my budget on Hollywood Brown. The one thing that kind of worries me, though, a little bit is, you know, going back to our original point, like, Lamar Jackson had 10 minutes to throw in the pocket. He was just chilling while Hollywood Brown went and he got open on at least two of the touchdowns. Like, he was just hanging out in the pocket. And I worry that if they're actually playing a competent team, that's not going to happen. And I want to see Lamar Jackson throw while he's on the run. Like, I want to see like a Deshaun Watson or like a Russell Wilson, where he can just go and be hyper accurate, while he's on the run, because that, I think, as the season goes along, is going to be a little bit more indicative of how the games are going to go. And I don't think that they're going to be facing this Miami team every week. So that's the only thing that gives me pause. And that's why I would only go and spend about 20% of my budget on him max. But I think there's going to be somebody out there that looks at the box score and says, holy crap, this kid's going to be amazing. First round pick, first wide receiver off the board. Boom, 30, 40% of their budget.
Okay, so you think to get him, you're going to need to go haywire, and you don't think it's worth it.
I think so. I mean, we've seen all this before, right?
That's fair.
I could be wrong. This guy could be, like, you saw him last year. Like, we've all seen the highlights from last year, and he was unbelievable playing with Kyler Murray. So, if you're into it, I wouldn't be upset if you spent 40 to 50% if it was me, but I'm a little bit more conservative.
20%. Yeah, I don't think that's like, I wouldn't spend 40%. My bid, if I was wanted to get him, I'd put 31, but I don't want him that much. I do want him, but my bid is probably going to be in the low to mid 20s. Now, everybody, there wasn't one expert touting John Ross this offseason. He was left for dead. This reminds me a lot of what happened with Tyler Boyd, his teammate.
Yeah.
Terrible. He was a terrible first 2 years. I literally dropped him on a dynasty team. But we forget, wide receivers break out in year what, Shane?
Three.
What year is this for John Ross, Shane?
Year three.
Is it a big surprise that all of a sudden, the ninth overall pick, the speed guy that Marvin Lewis always had a problem with, Marvin Lewis leaves, in comes Zach Taylor, new coach, Sean McVay coaching tree, unlocks John Ross. Coincidence?
I think not. I love John Ross when he came out. I mean, he struggled. I think, what did he play, one game in his opening season, and then he was out on IR for the rest of the season. So, I mean, he pretty much just scrapped that first season. Then last year, he struggled pretty much all year. He was unstartable.
Okay, but, so we need to talk about John Ross in two different ways.
Okay.
While the current situation exists with him and Tyler Boyd, and then after AJ Green presumably comes back in week 4 or 5. So
five or six, seven or eight, who knows?
Let's just say if you're bidding on him, you got to assume it's week 4 or 5. Okay, I think that's a safe assumption. Now again, if it's more, then it's just gravy. But
I'm probably gonna bid as much for John Ross as I would for Hollywood Brown, and the reason for that is you saw the targets that he got. What was it, 12 targets? I'm just gonna double check that. Yeah, he got 12 targets yesterday. We know Joe Mixon's out, right? And the thing about fantasy football is it's a win week by week league. Like, you can't be looking too far down the road. And so if I can plug John Ross into my lineup this next week, which I'm going to hopefully try to do, I would bid probably 20-25% for John Ross. Like, I would rather have John Ross than Hollywood Brown, because I think Ross is a guy that's going to be more consistent. And guess what? He could probably put up the same sort of points as a Hollywood Brown. He has that explosive capability. So I would target John Ross, but I've also, like, he's been one of my favorite rookies for a long time, and I've been constantly disappointed by him. So maybe that's why I'm like a homer for him.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I think John Ross has the most viability. That although Hollywood Brown is the number one overall receiver that was taken in this draft, the Ravens decided to take him with a first round pick. Even though he was hurt, they must have saw something in him. They knew they needed him for the offense they want to run. There's a lot. Someone said before, there's so many wide receivers. There's AJ Brown. There's, there's Terry McLaurin, who looks like he's going to be the number one and force fed the ball. And he just looks amazing. Mecole Hardman, as we said before, presumably is going to be, taking Tyreek Hill's spot, or, you know, they can't all go to Sammy Watkins. So you're not going to be able to get all these guys. So you would prioritize John Ross first. Would you say Hollywood second and McLaurin third?
Yes. I would probably go Crowder. It'd be close. Well, it'd be close to McLaurin and Crowder, yeah.
Let's assume Crowder's not in the mix here. I put Crowder at the end because I think he would be the first choice for me if he's available in your league. Yeah. I just don't think that, because he's going to be the safest, the most reliable.
Yeah, you're right.
So let's just take him out of the mix of these four, rank them in 1 through 4 order.
I would go John Ross, Hollywood Brown. It's close, but I go those two. Then I go Terry McLaurin, then Mecole Hardman. I don't buy into Mecole Hardman. I haven't all off season. I just want to see it before I put my money on it.
That's the thing. You're not going to be able to see it. You're going to have to put your money on it first. So how much of that money would you put on it? Because someone's going to bid on him this week. And if you want to, the chance to see it, to see it first before was in the draft. No one drafted him. So he's sitting there in the waiver wire. How much are you willing to put on it?
Me, 5%, 7%.
Okay. Yep.
I'm not super bullish on him.
Right. And if you were, I would say 9 or 11% gets it done. All right. Those are the tier one. So we move into the tier two wide receivers that we're calling not tier two, just who's available this week. And let me see. Oh, sorry. Tier two was Danny Amendola, who had a great day, 100 yards and a touchdown. DJ Shark, who we were touting all offseason as possibly going to be the wide receiver one in Jacksonville. And Miles Boykin, who had a touchdown yesterday, not a ton of anything else, but looks the part. The wide receiver out of Notre Dame, opposite side of Hollywood Brown. He looked pretty good. Would you even put Miles Boykin in tier two? What do you think about the old Grizzly vet, Danny Amendola? Talk to me about this tier or anyone else you think I should be in this tier that I didn't include.
Well, no. I mean, for me, I like DJ Chark at the top of this tier.
For upside.
I mean, obviously there's a risk because he's dealing with basically a rookie quarterback now. So he's not going to have the reliable quarterback play, but he did look pretty decent. you know, AFC South, a lot of high scoring games. It's a guy that I would want to get a piece of. Danny Amendola, as a Patriots fan, he's always going to be one of my favorite players, but you know, there's still other guys in Detroit that he's going to have to beat out. And so I wouldn't spend a ton of money on Danny Amendola, but if you need decent depth, I mean, if you need to give a flex play, I'd be okay picking him up as well. And then at the bottom of that is Miles Boykin. I think that Miles Boykin is going to be great. But this is the kind of guy who, you know, he might have up and down games. You know, he doesn't have that explosive ability that Hollywood Brown does. And although Miles Boykin apparently had an amazing camp and preseason, I still wouldn't just break the bank on it unless I was in a super deep league.
Oops, sorry about the extreme close up there. There we go. I agree with every single thing you just said there. And you know, this is, we got to start disagreeing on some of this stuff, but yeah. I think that these are the logical thoughts, the logical plays in that tier two. So how much would you spend on Shark if you, let's say you lost Tyreek Hill or who were some of the other injuries at wide receiver this week? If you were a little worried about, Juju's a little dinged up. You just need some to add some depth. You're not happy that you drafted Dante Moncrief because he dropped five passes yesterday.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I think that actually the safest pickup here is Danny Amendola. If you just want somebody just to fill the hole, I'm going about 11 to 13% on Danny Amendola if I'm desperate. If I just want to throw in a bid just to see if I get him, maybe 6 to 8%. Does that sound right?
I think that's pretty fair. And it'd be about the same for DJ Chark. I mean, I would probably spend more on DJ Chark because, you know, maybe this is going to be his breakout season.
Yeah.
And you kind of know what you're going to get with Danny Amendola, right? He's a possession receiver. He's going to have some good weeks. He's going to probably have some down weeks. But DJ Chark, this is a guy who could be on the up. He could be the number one receiver in that offense. DeeDee Westbrook, I think, looked good yesterday. He was one of my flex plays on our pod last Friday.
Nice.
And I think he looked pretty decent. You know, he didn't quite get the receptions that I thought he was going to get, but he got the touchdown. And, I think that DJ Chark, there's more upside. So if you're bidding for a guy for your bench, you want upside on your bench.
Even with the new QB, are you worried at all about Gardner Minshew?
He looked okay. Yeah, with him. So why not? Let's go with it, man. Go for the upside. Yeah,
fair enough. Okay, so the other guys, I think that's really good, smart analysis there. The other guys I thought were worth putting a bid on were DK Metcalf, Randall Cobb had a decent game,
yep.
Chris Connolly, Rashard Higgins. Is it Rashard or Rashad Higgins?
I think it's Rashard. Rashard.
Rashard. Okay, Rashard. Your guy, Switzer.
Yeah. And well.
Beasley, who Cole Beasley had a bunch of catches and a pretty good PPR game, and AJ Brown looked like that nice tall slot receiver.
Ooh, man.
Is there anyone that you'd put more than a $3 bid on of this group?
The guy that I was going to go, if I would go after anybody, it would be DK Metcalf.
And, how much? How much?
Man, I almost would have DK Metcalf in our last group.
Okay. So
the DJ Chark and stuff. So I would probably go 8 to 10% for DK Metcalf. It's funny. I was listening to the radio on my way home today, and they were talking about how, like, the narrative all through training camp and stuff about DK Metcalf is that he's like a one trick pony, because everybody saw that one, what was it? It was like a Twitter video that somebody showed where he like tried to do a sudden stop and it took like 14 steps or something like that. So immediately it's like, oh my God. He had the terrible agility drill through the combine. This guy doesn't know how to make cuts. He can't drop his hips. And that was it. But then everything you heard from the beat reporters, from the team, was that this guy, he's been running multiple route trees. He knows how to play the game. And he's an Adonis, man. Like, he's a freak. So for me, a DK Metcalf is the same sort of thing, is that, you know, the sky's kind of the limit for this guy. So I would definitely, did you guys discuss McLaurin already?
Yeah, Andrew said, did we discuss McLaurin? We'll circle back on that. We did hit him, but we'll circle back. But just finish your thought on DK Metcalf real quick.
Yeah, and then, I mean, how many receptions did Tyler Lockett get? Two?
Two, and he didn't have any until the fourth quarter, but one of those receptions was a touchdown.
Well, that's just classic Lockett, right? He's Mr. Efficiency. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, DK Metcalf, I think that this is a guy that could legitimately, like, the more and more I think about it, and maybe I'm just like, I love the dynasty hype with a DK Metcalf. I think that this is the guy that could become the number one receiver on this team. Probably not right away, because Tyler Lockett is just, I think he's very good. But maybe by the end of the season, you can see that DK is going to be the alpha. And this is a guy that I'd be willing to keep on my bench for that upside.
Yeah, I mean, DK has that typical number one wide receiver size, speed, similar to like Andre Johnson or Calvin Johnson. You know, whereas, you know, the Tyler Lockett is more the Antonio Brown style of number one wide receiver.
Yeah,
all right, yeah. So DK Metcalf, what percent? Are you going 15% of budget on DK? Make sure you get
10%, but I'd probably go 10 to 15% for DK.
Yeah. Okay, and just circle back real quick, McLaurin. Andrew had asked if we talked about Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin, Shane and I both had him pretty high on our dynasty draft board. He was going in the third round of a lot of dynasty rookie drafts. Shane and I both moved him up to like an early second round, even late first round pick. I know Shane was really high on him. He turned my head. Specifically, Shane, when you pointed out that Haskins was his quarterback. In college and for the long term, that chemistry looked really good. But you know what? He looked good yesterday with Case Keenum. Is this just like one of those stud wide receivers on a bad team that's going to get force fed?
He's a good receiver, yeah, man.
All right. So how much are you putting on Terry McLaurin?
Well, Terry McLaurin, I would probably put it 15-20%. I think I'd go high in this guy. I mean, look, like down the road, there might be other guys that break out. Right. But these are all guys that we had really high draft values on, like for dynasty leagues. And when these guys come out and they kind of like immediately shine, it's like, okay, we need to take notice. Right. When a Danny Amendola comes out and produces, the guy's been in the league for a decade. It's like, okay, you kind of know what you're going to get with this guy. So I would go out and I'd be more aggressive. I think Terry McLaurin's going to be a star, man. I really do.
Okay. So if you're not ready to go get both DK and Terry McLaurin, which one of those guys are you prioritizing?
That's tough, man. That's tough. Personally, if it was me, I'd probably go DK.
Okay, so you have one roster spot. You have like Deshaun Hamilton or someone like that, or so, you know, just someone that you're not going to keep. And
we don't know what that isn't played yet.
That's a bad example. So let's say, you know, you took DeMarcus Robinson and
exactly. Just, you know, kind of like, and that's the thing, guys, is like we the way your team looks last week, you know, right after your draft versus how it's going to look in about 5-6 weeks is going to be completely different. Always be churning the bottom of your roster because that's who you're going to hopefully strike gold.
Would you drop AJ Green for any of the wide receivers that you just named? Like, or just if some, you know, I mean, if you just don't want to hold them, or you just at this point you're married to the idea of holding AJ Green.
Well, I wasn't drafting AJ Green. I was telling people not to draft AJ Green. So if I had him, I would try to trade him, to be honest, because there's somebody out there who might, and even if it's just like a backup running back or something like that, I would rather have a person on my bench that I can play. That if, you know, push comes to shove, I can play him. Than holding a guy who may be back week 5, we don't know. Would I drop him for AJ Green? I probably would, simply because I want a guy that I can start.
All right, that sounds good.
Horrible, yeah.
No, all right. And now you wanted to talk about Switzer real quick. If you're in a 12-team league, PPR league, are you making room for Switzer? I mean, what did you see last night that was promising?
I just liked him, man. Like Ben kept going to him. And, you know, and that's really what it comes down to. Like he's the starting slot receiver in that offense. And, you know, for whatever reason, like they weren't really throwing the ball to the running backs, whether it was Jalen Samuels or James Conner. Like, yeah, they got some receptions, but Ryan Switzer was just eating up those receptions. And I think that in, you know, a Steelers offense, that's value, right? If I was in a 10 team league, would I get him? No. But if I was in a 12 or a 14 team league, yeah, he's the kind of the guy that I would like to have on my bench. Just, you know, get a piece of these good offenses.
Okay. I like that. All right. So we hit on the wide receivers. Any other wide receivers you want to just make a quick note on before I do the tight ends?
Hold on. What's Andrew got to say here?
Okay. Hold on. Let's check. So Andrew says, I like McLaurin more than Hollywood. And Ross, do you guys agree? I mean, we both said that I like Ross the best out of all of them. He's in year three breakout, but I wouldn't argue with you, Andrew, if you said that you like Terry McLaurin more. It's just that, you know, he's going to get force fed the ball, and anything that you're thinking logically is probably correct. I just liked that 4.2 speed that John Ross had is just, I think that's where the NFL is going. Mm-hmm. These guys can't be stopped with the new rules. They can get behind the defense and catch the long ball. It's lights out. It's a game changer for most teams. And I think
I agree.
Yeah. So John Ross could be a game changer for your team too.
Well, the one thing about Terry McLaurin too is that the Philadelphia Eagles don't have the best secondary, so that could have contributed partially to it, right? But I mean, you're kind of splitting hairs, right? Like I agree, I would rank it Ross, Brown, McLaurin personally, but mm-hmm. it's close, right? Like it's not like one is significantly better, right? So if you like one player more than the other, the thing that it's kind of the tiebreaker for me is the offense. Which offense do I trust more? And frankly, I mean, I kind of just trust, like this kills me to say, but I trust the Baltimore Ravens and Cincinnati Bengals. Those AFC North team offenses more than Terry McLaurin.
All right, moving on. And also, somebody, Andrew, you'd said that you'd missed some stuff. If you missed this, we're going to post this on the DFS Army YouTube page. This is going to be in the DFS Army podcast feed, and it's also going to be in the Flex Network. You should subscribe to there as well, where you could see Shane and Flex Matt all the time, and myself. We are the Flex Network. We have podcasts there that are fantasy football related, wrestling related, and some all other stuff. Those guys over at Flex Network, they just did an interview with a Seattle Seahawks insider. Shane did a great job with that. And you could also check out in that feed, we did a interview with Coach Bobby Ramsey, who coached Derrick Henry in high school. So there's a whole bunch of other things. Subscribe to the Flex Network podcast and also the DFS Army podcast, where we will post all of the audio conversation here.
That's right. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate the interaction.
Yeah. Before we hit the tight ends, let's see if there's any. All right. Yep. We got it. Awesome. All right. Sure. So let's knock out some tight ends. The tight ends, we got Vernon Davis, Jimmy Graham, Blake Jarwin on Dallas, who scored a touchdown. Yeah. My guy, CJ Uzoma. I love that guy. And Higby scored a touchdown yesterday. Did you see Vernon Davis looking like he's 25 years old jumping over guys yesterday?
Pretty crazy, man. Like, I love that.
Yeah, no, that was good. So good. If you're the Jordan Reed owner and you're just desperate a tight end, which everyone's desperate a tight end, you got to put like a $14 bid or $16 bid on because there's going to be other guys that go after Vernon Davis too. Jimmy Graham, Aaron Rodgers is looking for him, and Jimmy Graham looks healthy to me. So tight end is worth, you know, going after. I think it's 16% or lower. If you already have your tight end, you want to put like a $4 or $5 bid on there. Maybe someone just thinks Vernon Davis was a flash in the pan. Blake Jarwin is a great $1 or $2 guy. Uzoma, same thing. And Higby, you know, those guys you can get for a buck. How much would you talk about what if you were two scenarios? One, if you were just totally desperate at tight end, you have Jordan Reed or you've just been playing some scrub, what would you do on Jimmy and Vernon Davis?
Man, if I was desperate at tight end, I'd probably go 10%. And that's probably going to win you your bid because for the most part, the guys didn't super disappoint. In like a 0.5 PPR, Hunter Henry put up, I think like 8.8 points or something like that, which wasn't great, but for the most part, you're not going to be dropping any of these top guys that you have. Right. And then the only like kind of late round tight end that really just totally underperformed was Vance McDonald. I mean, Austin Hooper had a pretty decent showing last night. Let's see here. Austin Hooper had
like 8 catches, right?
He had 9 targets, 9 receptions, 77 yards. So in PPR leagues, he totally cleaned up. Delanie Walker, he may not have been drafted in a lot of leagues. Maybe by name brand, but you know, he was 5 for 55 with 2 touchdowns.
Delanie made a late push in draft season. He was picked up. He was played again. You know what it was is that the narrative towards the end of draft season was, wait a second, when Marcus Mariota was healthy, which he is now, and Delanie Walker was healthy, that was his number one wide receiver. Yeah,
exactly. And I think, I know we kind of talked about it, and I didn't realize so many people drafted TJ Hawkinson. I mean, generally speaking, like the rule of thumb is you don't draft a rookie tight end, but man, like this guy is special. This guy is special. Like, the reason he was so highly draftable was he taken 10th overall by the Lions?
Eighth
overall? Okay. Is because he could be as good as Gronkowski.
No. Back that up. I'm going to say he's going to be better.
Oh, okay.
Patriots fan. No, I mean, I think the upside is somewhere over there, though.
I love Hawkinson, man. He's so good. These Iowa tight ends, man, they're so good.
Isn't it crazy that Iowa, so obviously last year they had both Noah Fant and Hawkinson, but the year before that, they had George Kittle on the team.
Oh, no. That's just it. Like, he's another George Kittle. He really is.
I think he's better.
I think he's better, too. I agree.
Yeah.
Like, this is a guy that I'm in four dynasty leagues. I have him in two. I was willing to spend that first round capital to get to lock in this tight end because he's very good.
The DFS Army saw the DFS Army rankings that I put up for the rookie rankings. I had Hockenson at four overall.
Overall, everything. Like tight end premium or just
no, it's regular. Just one QB. I basically put him after the three running backs. I had him at four all season long. I had Paris Campbell there at four and Hockenson at five, but okay. I moved Campbell down after the Andrew Luck thing and moved him up to four. And the geek was asking me. He said, "Well, he's a tight end. Why do you have him at four?" I said, "You'll see. You'll see why."
Well, and then I don't have his line in front of me, but man, he put up like 28 points or 26 points or something like that.
Yeah, he had 125 yards on, I think it was either 8 or 10 catches or something like that.
Disgusting. So good. So.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, any...
Fab on Hawk?
Yeah, Fab on Hockenson, I think that's like 75%.
He's still a tight end, man. Honestly, I'd probably go 30%, though. I'd go 30%. Like, if Hockenson's available, he could literally be like the game changer, and I would probably take him over any of these guys if he's available.
Yeah, in tight end premium, I agree with Shane's rationale on how much you got to go super aggressive. I would do whatever it takes to get Hockenson because, like you said, this could be someone that changes your season. So, in a league where you can spend
50%
easily. Yeah. I mean, think about this. I'm trying to think of the equivalent player. This is the Philip Lindsay thing all over again.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We saw it once. We're like, oh, it could be. Maybe it is. You know, I want to see it one more time. You don't get a chance to see it one more time. That's it.
Al, here's my question for you, okay? So let's look at the top tight ends. You got Travis Kelce, George Kittle, O.J. Howard, Hunter Henry, Evan Ingram. Are you dropping any of these guys for, like, not dropping them per se, but, like, are you still bidding that aggressively if you've got one of those top five tight ends?
Yeah, because I can play him in my flex, presumably. Now, so the wide receiver, like, where would TJ Hockenson go if we redrafted today? Where would he get drafted? What round?
Probably around five or six, like around the O.J. Howards.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So how much if we were doing a redraft league, Shane, and I said, okay, you have 100% of your fab. Let's use $100 fab league. Yep. How much of your fab would you pay for an extra fifth round pick?
Probably at least $50.
Okay. So there's your answer. I would pay 100.
Yeah. You'd pay 100.
I'd pay 100 for an extra fifth round pick.
Yeah. I guess that's a good point when you put it that way.
That's what I'm saying. So he's worth 75% if you believe that he would go in the fifth round of redraft. There's my logic.
Which, I mean, based on his performance yesterday, it's so tough to have a one game sample size. Like, that's, you're gambling at this point. Not gambling, it's strategic.
but that's it. Yeah. Okay. So the price before you saw it was 10th round, not drafted. Now you get one quick reveal. A little peek behind the curtain.
It's the taste.
Little taste. Now are you buying yet? Because if you wait, he's gone. So, I'm just saying if he finishes as a top three tight end, that's like finishing as a top 15 wide receiver, basically. So would you take another top 18 wide receiver on your team?
Of course. Yeah, of course.
You would. I believe in him. I believe in the talent. I would spend what it took to get him. Shane agrees. He just doesn't agree on the amount, which is totally fine. Okay. Any of those other guys there on the tight end board that you would... interested, Jimmy Graham, or how much would you pay for Jimmy Graham if he was sitting on the waiver wire?
$5.
What was that?
$5. I still don't trust it. You know, we saw what he did last year. He's not the same Jimmy Graham from years ago.
No, he's not
good. Like his catch was amazing for the touchdown, and then he had that little hurdle, which I think kind of got a lot of people excited, but not really. I'm not too interested in Jimmy Graham.
Okay, spoken like a fantasy player who's doing good at tight end. I am. Dying at tight end.
If you're dying at tight end, yeah, maybe $10, 10% of your fab.
Yeah, I started like Tyler Eifert in one of my leagues, and Jack Doyle in another. It's just I totally punted tight end, and it would be a dream come true if Hockenson was on there. Yeah. All right, we're almost double the amount of time. Any look ahead defenses that you notice? What have you picked up or kickers? We'll start with kicker. What have you picked up Matt Bryant and you got a zero? Why the hell did he get a zero? Did he not attempt a field goal? I didn't watch Atlanta game yesterday.
Man, I was only really watching it at that point on red zone. So I wasn't paying too much attention to that. I have to dig more into that. But no, to be honest, I've pretty much gotten, I'm down to like two leagues, I think, with kickers at this point. And I've got this game, one of them. It's one of the ones we playing together. So I don't tend to look too far down the road for kicker. Typically, honestly, what I'll look at, just like in general, my strategy for kickers is people don't pay attention to them, right? So go look and see. You want teams with decent offenses, but offenses that don't always get into the end zone, because that way you're going to get 3 points versus just a one PAT point. So I'd try to go look at teams that have pretty decent offenses that maybe didn't put up a ton of points this week.
Tampa?
Just target that.
How about Tampa? Tampa's kicker? He's on the waiver wire.
I'd probably look at Tampa's kicker. Yeah, I think that you're going to have better weeks. I think this is a really bad week.
Yeah, you know, this is why I paid up for Justin Butt Kicker. Not Justin, Harrison Butt Kicker.
Yeah.
I was going to say Justin Tucker. I went 11th, 12th round in the leagues where I have kickers. I went and got him. And because he has a late bye, week 12, you could just set him in there. And yesterday, I mean, obviously he had a great day yesterday. But yeah, I would just like, I think Shane's advice. And then, you know, dollar on a kicker at most. You can even put in a $0 bid if your league allows it. Any defenses looking forward that might be on the waiver wire?
I don't look too much on the waiver wire, but a team that might get dropped this week is Jacksonville. So that might be a team worth picking up. But for the most part, I tend to stream week to week with defenses, and I haven't really looked at the slates for next week in too much depth yet. So
yeah,
I really push for a defense. But, you know, ultimately, like, I'm actually playing the Saints defense tonight. And a lot of the times, you know, you look at the Kansas City defense, for example, last year, even though these teams are going to go into shootouts, that just means there's more opportunities. And where you really score points with these defense special teams is on interceptions, sacks, fumble recoveries, touchdowns. And the more offensive plays that there are, the more likely there's going to be mistakes like that. These NFC North grind fest, typically there's not going to be tons of points scored by the defenses because there's not a lot of opportunities, a lot of running the ball, which there's just fewer chances for fumbles and that sort of thing. So,
yep, couldn't agree. Don't
be afraid to target these higher scoring games for your defenses.
Yeah, a couple of defenses that are out there, probably Green Bay's defenses out there. They look like they could be a top eight unit. So that might be. I don't know who their matchup is, but
Tennessee had a great week.
Tennessee looks like a killer defense. You know, it's funny. I heard something interesting on a podcast, and this is just tangenting off of Tennessee's defense, and then we'll wrap this thing up. Was someone said that they thought Baker Mayfield hit his head, that Tennessee really roughed him up, and that could have been why he had a shaky second half or shaky game.
Maybe had a concussion?
That, you know, maybe an undiagnosed or something like that. As we leave and we head in and we finished up our waiver wire, week one podcast. If there's anyone that we missed, you could send us a tweet. You could hit him up at Shane. Sorry, what's your Twitter handle, Shane? Go ahead.
_ Shane. So SEELEY _ Shane.
Okay. And there it is right there.
Yep.
At Sealy _ Shane. You could hit me up if there's anyone we forgot. We'll give you our thoughts at Alan Seslowski. Shane, you can catch him all the time over on the Flex Network podcast. I join him there weekly. We do our Friday Flex Play. What else, Shane? What am I missing?
The one thing you're missing, Andrew asked a really funny question. First time doing Fab, can you see other people's bids? The answer is absolutely not. Otherwise, it'd be too damn easy.
Right. This is all blind bidding. So maybe, is he talking about, can you see the results? You could see yes.
Afterwards.
Yeah, afterwards on Sleeper, you're able to see all of the people who bid. Sleeper is one of the apps you play on fantasy football, and you can see all of the different bids on some softwares. I know on CBS they only let you see the winning bid. But
Yahoo, you can't do it on the app. You can do it on the desktop in Yahoo.
Yeah, so it's always interesting, and every league is different. So yeah. I've been in leagues where they bid off the charts aggressive, and I've been in leagues where there's a bunch of scared cowards like Shane.
Oh yeah. Conservative, okay?
that's great. All right. What are you looking, what narrative storyline are you looking forward to most in week two?
Oh man, narrative storyline. It's gotta be AB, man.
Right. I think that's it. No, I can't do better than that. I can't do better.
Frig. I mean, if they don't just go and just stomp the Dolphins, it's gonna be shocking.
Right. Yeah, the line is I think it's already 14.5, so.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I was saying, if people were asking me yesterday what they thought the line was gonna be, and I was saying 14, so yeah, there you go.
Yeah, 14, and that really means it's like because you add six because if it's on their home field, so it's really like 20 and a half if it was in New England. That's all right, man. Great podcast. Hopefully we answered all your waiver wire questions. This will be on the Flex Network and on DFS Army's podcast simulcast feed. We're going to come back and do this every Monday night. And until next time, for Shane Seeley, Seeley_Shane, I am Season Long Says at Alan Soslowski. Thanks for listening to the Waiver Wire podcast.
See you later.